thearts.org.
And support for WMNF comes from our members and UF Online, providing education to qualified students. As a top 10 public university, online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. Students can apply by May 6th for fall. UF students online don't just log in, they connect. And if you have a car you no longer need, think about using it to support WMNF. Donating a car, truck, or other vehicle is a great way to support the causes you care about most, like your station. Visit WMNF.org or call 888-966-3885. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF. This is 88.5 FM, community radio from West Central Florida. Welcome to Executive Session, which is your forum for discussing the executive branch of your United States government. They are, after all, your employees. I'm John Gilmore. I host these sessions each Monday through Thursday at this time. In this conversation, we welcome all viewpoints. And we require civility, as we are convinced that radio can still be the back fence of the nation, that is to say, a place where reasonable people hash out the issues of the day and walk away enriched, even if they still don't agree. You can join the conversation at 813-239-9663. And this afternoon, you will reach Mr. Bill Grace, who will Incorrect. There's been a shift in the backfield, and Jan Simpson has stepped in as quarterback. And so you'll be talking to Jan Simpson. She will answer your call, get your name, where you're calling from, possibly a word or two about your subject, and get you ready to step in here and have your say. You can reach the studio by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 833, that's 813-433-0885. Be sure and find Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page, because then you'll be able to see the material that we use, the links to the material that we're discussing each day. So this actually technically didn't happen in the executive branch, but it certainly seems to be aimed at the executive branch, though, as the House Judiciary Committee has issued a list of people, organizations, and entities, whatever that is, from whom it wants information. This is the committee, by the way, where impeachment begins. It wields the power of the subpoena. The Congress has constitutionally mandated oversight duties, which have been virtually dormant during this administration so far, and the now democratically controlled House seems to be rousing itself to take on its duty. So the question arises, is this the groundwork for impeaching the president? What do you think will happen if the committee formulates articles of impeachment? And then there was this from Slate, the headline: nearly all coal-fired power plants in the U.S. are contaminating nearby groundwater, new report finds. Data gathered in response to a 2015 regulation has revealed that, and this is a quote, 91% of power plants using coal had higher than normal levels of arsenic, lithium, and other pollutants in nearby groundwater, in some cases at levels that far exceeded what is allowable by the Environmental Protection Agency. Now, if you were paying attention during the campaign, you know that this administration digs coal. And Slate cites a Reuters report, and this is a quote, that amid strong pressure from utility and coal companies, the EPA under President Donald Trump last July revised the 2015 rule to suspend groundwater monitoring requirements at coal ash sites if there is determined there's no potential for pollutants to move into certain aquifers. So, further, according to the Washington Post, cited in Slate's article, quote, the report acknowledges that the groundwater data alone does not prove that drinking water supplies near the coal waste facilities have been contaminated, according to the Post. Power companies are not routinely required to test nearby drinking water wells. That means, according to the report, the scope of the threat is largely undefined. So this is another Obama-era regulation discarded by this president. Do we need such regulations? Is it important to you that the coal-burning power plants around the nation be required to sample the groundwater in their vicinity to see whether or not they are leaching lead, cadmium, mercury, lithium, you know, what other ever metals there are, into the groundwater? And do you think it is important to know how many and how much heavy metals are in your groundwater? Let's talk.
Boy, the way Glenn Miller played
songs that made the hit parade.
Guys like us, we had it made.
Those were the days. And you knew when you were there.
Dance for girls and men were men. Mister, we could use a man like Herbert Hoover again.
And we're in executive session for a kind of drizzly Tuesday afternoon. It looks like from the radar shot that the rain may be over with, but the cloud cover still remains. And it certainly is sort of dreary outside. So huddle up close to the radio. We're going to warm up a conversation over here for just a little while. 813-239-9663 will get you in contact with Miss Jan Simpson, who will get you ready to step in here. And right now, we're going to go and talk to Tim in Avon Park. Tim, are you there?
Yes.
Good afternoon. What say you?
Good afternoon to you. Yes, I'd like to talk to you about the coal fire plant that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm from Michigan City, Indiana, and they have a coal power plant up there, and they have the trains that bring it in, and they have a big water tower, and I thought it was really cool as a kid, you know. And
yeah.
And they have a little west of there, they have these parks and beaches, and it's really cool. Back when I was a kid, they'd have the rolling hills and the forest and the pottery makers and the artists out there, you know. It's a really nice area.
Mm-hmm.
And then would go into a little nicer area. And then, but there was a town called the Pines. Now, the Pines was a little town. It was maybe 7 miles from Michigan City.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole area is now condemned. The state came in and bought all the houses because of the arsenic poisoning.
Really?
Schools are all closed, yes. Yes, I talked about it before and on another program on your station, but I just wanted to bring it up that it does happen because I witnessed it.
So it's just a condemned zone. There's just nothing there.
Well, there's people that still live there, but there's all the houses that were up by the beach and the lake, they're all bought up by the state, and they all made it into a preserve.
Ah.
The beach is still open, but that's it.
Uh-huh.
All the roads and all the houses are all gone. All, you know, it's just all like there's barely a road that goes through. It's real bumpy now, and it's all, you know, the pavement's all wore out.
Mm-hmm.
It used to be a beautiful area.
Yeah. We have down at Big Bend, we have a power plant that has been a coal-fired power plant for a long time. I understand now that they are in the process of converting it over to natural gas. And I don't know what state that's in. Somebody might be able to call us and inform us about that. But I remember a friend of mine having a sailboat out there that was in the Apollo Beach Yacht Club, and us having to go out there and hose the coal ash off of it, hose the fire the ash off of it, because there was a constant rain of particulates out of that stack. And that was a while ago. I think they actually started to clean that up. But if we are going to use combustibles, if we're going to burn stuff to make electricity, we kind of got to keep an eye on the environment around what we're around the plants we're using, because a lot of the stuff that we're burning is not really safe.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So sorry for those people that had arsenic poisoning. And they had to move, they closed the schools, and they wasted all that money and everything. Was it, just a crime?
Yeah, I understand that there is a considerable problem with asthma around places like that, too, because of the very, very fine particulates that find themselves suspended in the air. So, well, listen, some personal experience from somebody who has some personal experience of this. And thank you very much, Tim. I'm glad that you got to call to talk with us this afternoon, and I hope we get to talk again.
All right. Thanks a lot.
Sure enough. And 813-239-9663. We were just talking about this article from Slate that's headlined, "Nearly all coal-fired power plants in the U.S. are contaminating nearby groundwater," according to this new report. So, we've had coal-fired power plants around here. By the way, if you work at one of the power plants, or if you have, some knowledge about the power plants, is it accurate to say that they're actually in the process of actively converting over to natural gas? Just interested to know that. 813-239-9663. We go to talk to Lowell in Sarasota. Good afternoon, Lowell. You're in executive session.
Hi, John.
How you doing?
Doing good. So I wanted to talk about impeachment. Sorry to switch the subject, but...
Yeah, that's okay. We opened with that.
Yeah, I know. I'm paying attention, John.
Yeah, you're all over this thing.
So I saw Jerry Nadler last night on Rachel Maddow. Did you see it?
Yeah, I watched him.
Now, here's the thing. When I watch the news, I get aggravated, I get upset, I get nervous, my stomach turns, And then when I watch Rachel Maddow, I calm down.
Oh, yeah?
And I especially calm down. Yes, because it's logical. It's not screaming, and it's not, hysterical. It's just, here's what's happening, and here's why. Maddow is not so extreme as some of the others.
Yeah.
But Nadler made me feel great because he seems like he's a very calm person, and he's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to go in. I'm going to investigate. I'm going to see who did the wrong thing, and then we're going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? He wasn't full of bombast.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, we got to be careful about impeachment because I do not want President Pence. And I think do you?
No, I don't. I definitely do not wish to have a President Mike Pence for any amount of time whatsoever. It's just
not
a thing.
Not for a minute.
No.
For a minute. And the thing is, if Trump is dirty, and I think he is, and I think you'd be crazy not to believe that, then Pence is equally dirty. He was part of the transition team. He was meeting with, he was in with Flynn. He recommended Flynn, right?
Yeah.
So I just think Democrats got to be careful about this, and we need to just find out all the people that are, indictable, them and put them in prison, and take care of things all at once.
I wonder if Mr. Pence is watching Mr. Nadler very closely, because he tends to be a sort of a backgrounder. He comes up behind the president and goes, yeah, that's right,
yeah,
the president.
Right.
But and I guess that's probably, for the most part, the role of the vice president. But I think your assessment is essentially correct. He was there for the whole thing.
Yeah. If I was Pence, I'd be very, very nervous.
Yeah, so if there are matters that are problematic in the transition, in the campaign and the transition, I think Mike Pence should keep a very close eye on what's going on, because the likelihood that he wasn't involved in it is so slim, as far as I can tell, as to be negligible.
Zero.
Yeah,
it's zero. And the other thing is, I mean, if I was Pence, I'd be asking the FBI for witness protection. relocate me to Canada, and,
really?
And I'll tell you everything.
Really? Oh, there you go. So I'll sit down with you, and we will have whatever conversation you want to have, if you will please find me a nice place in the Idaho mountains.
Me and mother.
Yeah, me and mother in the Idaho mountains. All right, Lowell.
Okay, man.
Thanks a lot. 813-239-9663. Ms. Jan Simpson is going to answer your call, get you ready to step on in here and have your say this afternoon in executive session. We are we opened up entertaining the conversation about Mr. Nadler's judicial committee and the fact that it has issued 81 requests for information from everyone from the NRA to the FBI. And then also noted that there is now a report that figured in an article from Slate about coal-fired power plants contaminating nearby groundwater, and us actually not having any system in place to find out if that's affecting the water in wells that people are using for households. So we're going to go and talk to Joe. Good afternoon, Joe. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Yes, thank you, John, for taking my call. First off, I just wanted to mention in passing what Lowell said about Rachel Maddow. I feel the same way. Rachel Maddow she presents facts, she presents documents. She's very good. She's the best news person out there, so I agree with Lowell on that. But I wanted to talk about the metal poisoning that you see. One of the things you mentioned was mercury and other metals that come from this. I eat a lot of tuna fish, so I do a lot of research on mercury poisoning.
Yeah.
One of the effects of mercury poisoning is dementia.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking, you set a light off in my head when you were talking, when you were mentioning that article, set a light off in my head about, well, look at all the dementia that's happening in this country, the Alzheimer's and other dementia diseases. Could there be something compared with what's going on? The metal poisoning that we're getting from these coal fire plants, and just the general metal poisoning that we get from things like our hair dye.
It's interesting. I don't know. I don't know enough about dementia, because dementia is a very wide subject and it covers a lot. Alzheimer's is just one part of it. I don't know if we have the medical science to determine the origin, and perhaps there is a physician or a physician's assistant or somebody who's conducting research on this in the listening community today that could call us up. But I don't know if we have a means to distinguish whether or not that kind of pollutant is a factor in what looks like a substantial, almost epidemic of different kinds of dementias.
It seems to me that we've had a lot more of it in recent years than I had heard about it in the past. So I'm wondering if it just sets a light off of my head thinking, hey, maybe that might be something that contributes to this kind of epidemic.
I think it's a perfectly valid question. I don't know the answer to it, and there may be somebody out there who has some information and can call us and see if we can get a little bit closer to up to date on that, Joe.
It's also time the EPA started doing their job again. Since Trump, they haven't been doing their job at all. They're just pandering to the lobbyists, which drives me nuts, of course.
Well, the data that this report is based on, the data was gathered in response to a 2015 regulation. See, so the that's where the data in the report came from, and that regulation has been revised in the Trump administration to suspend groundwater monitoring requirements at coal ash sites if it is determined, we don't know by whom, there is no potential for pollutants to move across or to move into certain aquifers.
Well, the lobbyists are running the EPA right now, and that's one of the reasons why there's so much of that poisoning going on, I believe.
I believe that right now the person who has been offered as the head of the EPA is a coal and gas lobbyist.
Well, of course.
Now, somebody may call us up and correct me about that, but I believe...
That is correct.
So, you know, once again, we have this administration putting foxes just inside the doors of the hen houses.
Well, actually, I think they're throwing them in through the hole in the roof.
All right, Joe, listen, thanks for calling, and we'll talk again.
Thank you, sir.
All right. 813-239-9663, and Ms. Jan Simpson will answer your call, get you ready to step in here. We're going to take these calls as they come. And we says, Jan says that I should talk. Jan says I should talk to you, John, in Plant City. Good afternoon. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, John, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. How's yourself?
Oh, pretty good. I'm standing out here in the mud in Plant City, but hey, I was listening to your program and you mentioned coal, and I thought the listeners might be interested in this. They're actually, the American Coal Council is having a 3-day meeting on Clearwater Beach.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and the Extinction Revolution, which is a group that just started in St. Pete, is going to have a protest there between 6 and 7:15, and they have a Facebook event page for this, and they call it the Spring Coal Forum, Clearwater Beach, and it's at 500 Mandalay Avenue on St. Pete Beach at the Sand Pearl Resort and Spa.
So my goodness.
Kind of interested in protesting what's going on. Hey, show up, or at least go to the Facebook page and find out about it. But definitely, coal needs to stay in the ground. We know that.
Yeah, there's a there is this oxymoron that people use sometimes, this thing they call clean coal. And the fact of the matter is that there is no such thing. And you can scrub the effluent from coal until it is considered reasonably safe. But there is no such thing as clean coal.
Yeah, you know, and it's crazy to think, you know, we've got like about 150 years of extracting fossil fuel from the earth and burning it. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't disappear. You know, carbon dioxide is in the atmosphere for centuries.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's just like it's a no-brainer, you know. And I don't know. People just seem to think, well, we can wait another year and wait another year. And I don't think it's going to work like that. And, you know, you were talking about all the toxic effects of, you know, the chemicals in coal and coal ash. And, you know, yesterday I was listening to the program, Sean did, and there was a person, you know, it was about the, you know, the gay community and the Methodist Church.
Yeah.
And one of the callers called in and, you know, was complaining about these people, like they made a choice. And the reality is these chemicals do all kinds of crazy things to the human body. And there's what they call endocrine disruptors or blockers, and this is part of, you know, how we develop from a little egg, and you know, in our mothers, and there's all kinds of stuff going on beyond our control. And you know, it really kind of burns my ass because you know people, you know, it's just like blaming a child that was poisoned with lead for what that child ended up to be. You know, it's the same thing when people go, "Oh, these people, what are they? They're, you know, like they're crazy. They made a conscious decision." No, they made a decision maybe that they weren't conscious of. And like I say, I agree. You know, the toxins in our environment have really, you know, our human bodies just aren't, you know, they don't recognize this stuff. You know.
Yeah. Well, we are not generally equipped to deal with heavy metals as a as an addendum to our bodies. And listen, I hope that your donkey heals up well, and and I'm glad that we got to talk. Thanks for bringing it in, and we'll talk again.
All right, thank you. And it's Rebellion, Extinction Rebellion, Tampa Bay. Find it on Facebook. Hey, and join if you want. I mean, I think it's the only active group in the Tampa Bay area that is fighting climate genocide. That's what it is.
All right.
Thank you, John.
There you go. Thanks a lot. 813-239-9663. We'll get you into this conversation. We're going to step out for just a moment to bring you some information, and we will be right back. Support for WMNF comes from our members and Happy Feet Plus, a locally owned full-service footwear store featuring Birkenstock, Kenco massage sandals, and many other name brands. Happy Feet Plus offers footwear fashion to provide relief to people with foot, leg, knee, and back pain. Styles and selections at happyfeet.com.
WMNF is a listener-supported community radio station that celebrates cultural diversity and is committed to equality, peace, and economic justice. WMNF provides broadcasts and other forums with a grassroots local emphasis that promotes creative, musical, and political vitality. WMNF advocates for peace, social justice, and environmental justice through independent media and programming neglected by the mainstream. We embrace diversity, tolerance for others' opinions, and freedom of expression. WMNF celebrates and promotes the cultural, creative, and political vitality of the local community. We're your community-conscious radio station, WMNF Tampa.
Ike Riley, star of Tropical Heatwave and longtime WMNF favorite, is returning to Tampa and the Attic in Ybor City on March 28th. You don't want to miss the show opener at 8 p.m., Siobhan Philidor.
It's time to let go.
That's Ike Riley at the Attic in Ybor City, Thursday night, March 28th. Capacity is limited, so get your tickets now at WMNF.org.
And back to the conversation we go, we've been talking about coal-fired power plants, and we are we started out with the House Judiciary Committee's issuing of 81, and I guess you could consider them demands. I don't think that they are merely requests, or they're requests now, and they can be turned into subpoenas. I don't know. But the Congress definitely has a mandated oversight duty, and there has been virtually no oversight of this administration so far. So it looks like now that the House is democratically controlled, there is going to be active oversight of the administration. So does this look to you like the groundwork for an impeachment? And what do you think will happen if the committee formulates articles of impeachment? We're at 813-239-9663. And you can reach Ms. Jan Simpson. She'll get you ready to step on in here and have your say, just like Marilyn in Tampa. Good afternoon, Marilyn. You're in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hey, good afternoon, John.
Hi.
Yeah, for any Republicans out there who think this is overreach on the part of the Judiciary Committee, it's because the Republicans for the last 2 years did absolutely nothing to rein in Trump. All the abuses and all the corruption, they did nothing. I wouldn't be surprised if they would let him hand over the nuclear codes to Vladimir Putin, and they would have bowed down in obedience to him. So,
wow.
They have themselves to blame for this. Yeah, there was a reporter on Joy Reid's show Saturday morning who said, get Kushner out of the White House. She was frantic.
Uh-huh.
She said, we've been talking about this for months. He's selling state secrets for his own personal enrichment. And she gave a couple of examples.
Okay.
She said he needs to be indicted and get out of there.
Do you remember by any chance any of the examples that she cited?
Do you remember when the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia imprisoned all of his 20, I think, some relatives?
Yeah.
And extorted, like, billions of dollars from them?
Yeah, there was a luxury hotel. He turned it into the ritziest prison in the world.
Yeah, and I think one of his family members, some of them were tortured, and one of them died.
Mm.
That information, apparently they weren't paying enough taxes to the government in Saudi Arabia. Jared Kushner told him that and told him the name. He got that from the top secret information that he's privy to.
I see.
And he told that to the Crown Prince, and that's why he immediately rounded up all those relatives of his and extorted, I think it was billions of dollars from them.
Let me ask you a question. If we wanted to go look at the report that you're talking about, do you remember where it is that came from?
Oh no, there was no report. This was a reporter.
Oh, okay.
This is a reporter who, she was frantic, and she said,
"Oh, she was on." Okay, good.
About this for months, and mm-hmm. nothing is done. She said he should not have had a security clearance. He got it over the objections of all the people that are supposed to approve it.
We got it over the objections of the CIA.
And all the people who issue security clearances.
Yeah.
And Kelly, John Kelly, who was at the time the chief of staff, and Don McGahn were so alarmed by the fact that he got a security clearance for top secret information that they wrote a memo saying that they wanted no part of this.
Yeah. Well,
so it could be blamed later on. So, you know, this is way overdue.
Yeah.
And she said, indict him and get him out of there. He is selling state secrets for his own enrichment and for the enrichment of Donald Trump.
Yep. As far as I understand, among the prerogatives of the office of the president is the ability to confer security clearances. So
yes,
I understand it, the president is within his prerogatives to do so. Now, whether or not doing so
endangers our national security.
Yeah, is an abuse of power.
Exactly.
Because you can have the right to do something, you can have the power to do something, and it not be right. You know.
And even though he got a top secret security clearance, he is not privy to the very top. Apparently, there's even a more secret kind of information.
Yeah, there is, and I never can remember what it's called. Some kind of compartmentalized something.
Danger.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that the Judiciary Committee has requested documents from him. That guy's a traitor. He needs to go to jail.
Well, here's the thing.
To the core.
Here's the thing about all classified information. So I don't know how it is that the distribution is working, but the plain fact that you have a secret or top secret clearance doesn't mean that you can go in and just browse through the books. The top secret clearance means that if you need to know top secret information, you are cleared to know it. So all security is based on a need to know. Now, I don't know, like I said, I don't know how it is that they construe that he needs to know that stuff.
He apparently sits in on the daily briefings that Donald Trump does not sit in on.
Oh.
And that's how he gathers all this information that he turns around and uses. You know, the other thing was Qatar. Remember when all those Arab countries blockaded Qatar?
Yeah.
That was because Qatar refused to buy that 666 building that he owed $1 billion on, Jared Kushner.
Hmm.
I mean, this is corruption. Complete.
Well, I'll tell you what, Marilyn, if I've been aware of Gerald Nadler for a long time.
Oh, yeah.
And
he knows his stuff.
The guy is, he is a cousin, kind of Robert Mueller, in as much as he knows his stuff. He's very, very thorough. And he does not tend toward, you know, excess.
Leniency.
Yeah.
He's a constitutional scholar. I think he teaches constitutional law.
Yeah.
But at the university level. But, you know, somebody else said on Morning Joe today, if you think 81 is too much, during the Ken Starr investigation, they subpoenaed 1,285 documents from the Clinton White House.
Mm-hmm.
So
this is
nothing in comparison to that.
Well,
and the last thing I'd like to say
is
that every time I see Donald Trump hugging that flag, it really rankles me, because I don't know. When I was growing up, there was such a thing as flag etiquette.
Yeah.
And one thing you are never supposed to do is touch the American flag.
Mm.
But he hugs that flag like it's a woman, and it really makes me mad because it's obscene.
Yeah, and I imagine it makes some. I imagine there is a population of women out there who are very upset when they see that.
Turned off by it.
Yeah.
Anyway, I'm glad they've issued those 81 subpoenas, and I hope they catch a lot of fish.
Well, so far as I know, there aren't subpoenas. They have sent letters that say, and by the way, this stuff, if I understand correctly, this stuff is largely material that the special counsel already has.
Right.
So,
and the Southern District of New York already has. Too.
Yeah. So basically what they're doing is they are looking into the matter as an oversight committee, not as someone investigating whatever the special counsel
is
investigating.
They're fulfilling their obligation.
Yeah.
And Gerald Nadler said he's not looking for criminal.
Right.
Like SDNY is, or like Mueller is.
Right.
He's looking for abuse of power and corruption.
Yep. All right, Marilyn, listen, thanks. Good conversation with you this afternoon. Thank you very much, and we'll talk again.
Okay.
All right, 813-239-9663. Ms. Jan Simpson will answer your call this afternoon, get you ready to step in here and talk about the, we could talk about, we've been talking about coal-fired power plants. We've been talking about the House Judicial Committee where impeachment begins. And we're going to go and talk to Mike in Tampa. Mike, good afternoon. You're in executive session and you have the floor.
Yeah, you were talking about the coal plant not having to stand for the groundwater anymore.
Yep.
Trump is, we could be getting away from fossil fuels. We need to get away from fossil fuels and go to renewable energy, and Trump is taking us in the opposite direction.
Yeah, he seems to be, now extract and burn. Let's face it, extract and burn is a proven technology. All right, we've been using it for the entire time, basically since we came down out of the trees. So it's a proven technology, and at this point, however, it looks like further employment of the technology is going to damage us.
Why?
So, this is idle speculation, but I wonder if we actually know the extent to which we have caused damage already. Like, the amount of carbon that we've put into the air already, do we know what ultimately it's going, you know, how it's going to affect us as we continue to pump more?
Yeah, I don't think we do. I don't think global warming is real, and 90% of the scientists agree on it. And And I don't think people like Trump know the damage they're causing.
Well, they're, Trump is a business guy, so he is going to want to clear the hurdles away from the profitability and ease of operation for industries. And that's what he's doing. He is, they have changed regulations so that you can knock the tops off of mountains and push them into the valleys where the streams run. They've apparently revised this 2015 rule so that they don't have to monitor groundwater water requirements except in certain very specific ways. So, you know, they're I don't know. The bottom line on it, Mike, is that we pretty much need to get this stuff in hand and start to act on it, because if we keep doing what we're doing, we're going to end up where we're headed.
Yeah, well, that goes to the heart of capitalism again, maximizing profits.
Sure.
That's all I care about.
Well, that is what corporations are for. A corporation is a fictional business entity that's designed to shield liability from individuals and produce wealth for the owners, shareholders, and upper management.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. That's what they do.
Yeah. So, and I mean, we should not be shocked, by the way, that that's what corporations do any more than you would be shocked to find dirt in a dump truck, you know?
I'm not shocked.
Yeah. But that, by the way, doesn't mean that it's okay. It's just that, you know, we shouldn't be shocked that that's what's going on. That's what the design of the thing is.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the design of the thing, and, that's the design of capitalism, and that's why I think we need a better system ourselves.
Yeah, well, actually, you know, and I've said this before, capitalism is probably the finest system ever devised for encouraging initiative and innovation. It's really a powerful system in that regard, but it needs to be managed. Otherwise, it turns cannibalistic.
Well, the problem is, the question is, can you manage it when the basic nature of the system is to do otherwise?
Well, that's the thing. That is the struggle. That's the dynamic that we constantly face. And it's a balance. I don't know if you've seen people walking high wires, right?
Right.
Yeah. Balance is not a static thing. They teeter from side to side. You know what I mean? And so basically what we're looking to do is to maintain some sort of balance in regulating industry so that we get to maximize the benefits of industry while we minimize the potential damage.
Industry's always pushed against those regulations.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, they do. You're cutting off their food supply. No, yeah, regulations are costly. You know, if you have to treat your wastewater, it costs you more than just dumping it in the river.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing. People like Trump, I saw them put people like Trump in the office, so
yeah,
they won't have to regulate. And I was talking to Mark Buell about the... about the blame the Clintons was far from being opposed to Trump, the Clintons are in the same ball game.
Yep. All right, Mike, listen, thanks for the conversation this afternoon. Always glad to talk with you, and we'll talk again, sir.
Okay.
Sure enough. 813-239-9663, a quick step away from the conversation for some information, and we'll be right back. Support for WMNF comes from our members and UF Online, providing education to qualified students regardless of their location. Online students earn the same degree as their on-campus counterparts. UF believes it is time to expect more from an online education. UF Online students don't just log in, they connect. And we are going to talk to you. We're going to listen to a little bit of music.
A great annual WMNF event is the Caribbean Cruise Music Festival. You'll feel like you're on a Caribbean island with the aroma of island food, sweet sounds of island music, and colorfully dressed island people.
Now I have climbed upon this mountain. Before my eyes I see.
Join us at Skipper's Smokehouse, Saturday, March 23rd, 4 p.m. to midnight.
And down the back stretch we come here this afternoon. Be sure and stay around because Nancy C is going to take you through the afternoon in It's the Music. We're going to be sunny in here. Don't know what it's like outside, but stay with us. And we are going to go through the afternoon. And then she is going to take you right up to and into the traffic jam so we can get you home this afternoon and this evening. And in the meantime, we are going to go back and talk to Bill in Homosassa. Good afternoon, Bill. You're in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor.
Marilyn said something that makes no sense. Flag advocacy and Donald Trump. He has neither one. None. What advocacy does that man ever had in his life?
I don't know. He seems to delight in ignoring traditions and norms and, you know.
Well, he said BS right there on the you throw me off here if I said that.
I'm just trying to figure out. I'm trying to put those words in, say, George H.W. Bush's mouth, or in Gerald Ford's mouth, or in Eisenhower's mouth. I'm trying to. I can't do it. I cannot see or hear those words coming out of even George W. Bush's mouth.
I would have more respect for if he had a set. You know, that man run a chainsaw, flew an airplane. Needless to say, probably props on all parts, but what's that guy ever done? Trump, zero, nothing.
Well, I think that he is a master entertainer. I think he's very, very good at what he does. Unfortunately, I'm not altogether sure that his peak skill set is appropriate for the office he holds.
Well, what scares me is the people that accept him as an entertainer. He is not. He's not even good at that, I don't think.
Well, you know, look, when you hold a crowd, when you can hold a crowd for 2 hours, you're not doing bad. Ask any stand-up about that.
You know, well, depends on what props you...
Exactly.
Now, isn't Perry in charge of the EPA?
Perry is in charge of the Department of Energy. The EPA is undergoing a personnel shift. There was a guy in there. He's out. And there was another guy that was acting. And now there's a guy who is nominated.
And I think the VA is going through the same program, right?
I
wonder how many... I know they are, because they got Trump's picture up at the Veterans Administration when you walk in a building.
Uh-huh.
And there's nobody beside of him. You know, like they used to have, which I just want to paint a mustache on that dude every time I walk through there or something. You don't mean to hit it. Whatever, but that, I won't. So the cops are right there.
Well, that's it. It's just as well. There's no sense in getting you involved in the legal system for that.
Yeah, Lord, no. I've had enough of that in my life. Now, but Perry is a good example of his drain the swamp. And Perry I bet he don't even what time he's supposed to be at work in the morning, let alone do the job.
I heard when he first was confirmed that up until a certain point in the process, he did not know he was going to be in charge of the nukes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You know, he thought he was going to be an ambassador for the coal and gas industry, and he didn't know that all the rest of that stuff came with the chair.
Well, my father used to tell me, you've heard of people that don't know nothing. That guy don't even suspect it. And that's the sad part of it. That's true.
Okay.
I mean, out there. Have a good day.
All right, Bill. Thanks for calling. We'll talk again. 813-239-9663. You can still get in here. We are just on the tender edge, stepping across the threshold into the lightning round. We're going to go and talk to Dave in Tampa. Dave, good afternoon. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Good afternoon. I'm calling about the coal companies. Yeah, the water should be tested. Absolutely no question about it. I used to have a well. I live in Illinois, a private well.
Uh-huh.
I only tested it once or twice a year.
Yeah.
To make sure it was drinkable, potable. And they could condemn it if it wasn't.
Yeah.
But I don't think we should let steel companies do it because we let the car companies do auto emissions and they cheated kind of like a lot of them cheated.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we can trust them to do it.
Yeah, I think you're correct. I think in especially in places where there where the groundwater is being pumped for household use, I think it's really important that there be some sort of monitoring going on, especially if we know that there is heavy mineral pollutant leaching into the groundwater.
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
You know,
I grew up with lead pipes too, but
it was
on the inside that. It kept the lead from leaching out.
Yeah.
But that was part of, I was in Illinois, part of the Lake Michigan, Lake Superior Aquifer, which services millions of people.
Yeah.
It's one of the biggest freshwater deposits in the world.
Yeah.
To mess that up, and I know there's coal-fired power plants somewhere around in those areas, Lake Michigan, Lake Superior. I don't know what they're doing, but
well, we have been. I think that coal has been the fundamental source for electrical power in the United States for, I don't know, generations at least.
Oh sure.
You know, and it used to be that whatever came out of the flue went up the stack and out.
Oh sure, yeah.
And
I worked in pollution control too.
And yeah,
we made dust mixers for steel mills that were over $1 million.
Yeah,
the guy tested one time for. I saved you $1 million for a garbage can. So that's what it is to me. And it costs maintenance, but it was just kind of a strange take on it.
Yeah. Well, if those things, I understand. I understand industry's hesitance and displeasure at having to do those things because that stuff is expensive. When you have to put a scrubber, put scrubbers in the stacks of a power plant that burns tens of thousands of tons of coal on a regular basis, that's expensive.
And millions of dollars.
And plus you have to, then you have to do something with the stuff you caught.
Yeah. And the water used to clean it with has to be either contained or recirculated or recycled somehow and made better.
Okay.
It's a vicious circle, but they need a way to get to fix it.
I agree, and I think especially in places where the ground is as permeable as it is in Florida, that we really, really need to keep our groundwater monitored because we have basically what we have is a 25-foot deep sand filter that leads to a limestone sponge.
And we already have Superfund sites,
one
in North of Tarpon, the phosphate. I mean, that's one of the worst in the country.
Yeah. Well, the phosphate mines, what they do is they strip off what they call the overburden. That's what they do is they go in and they strip off the overburden. Now, the overburden just happens to be what you and I call Florida.
Yes. Yeah.
And so they strip off the overburden, and then they get to a layer of phosphate-bearing rock, and they mine that.
Right.
See? So, you know, and I don't know if how far down you have to go. Sometimes it's 30 feet of overburden that they have to take off of that. And the aquifer, I mean, I can take you up in Hernando Beach and show you places where they were where there were limestone mines. They're now water-filled canals, but those mines reach down into the limestone bedrock.
Yeah, I used to go to Minnesota to a vacation. I saw open pit iron ore mines.
Yeah,
have you seen these trucks up close? I mean, the wheels are over 6 feet high.
Oh yeah,
looking down the pit.
They're like moving houses.
Yeah,
they're so
tiny, so far down. And they have roads in there, and pumps going 24 hours a day. Most of them are closed because it came cheaper to buy steel over the seas than to mine it and smelt it here.
Yep.
So most of them have far as I know, most of them shut down.
All right, Dave, you have had the last word in the session for a dreary Tuesday afternoon. Thank you for calling, and I hope that we will get to talk again.
All right, thank you.
Sure enough. All right, that's going to be the session for this afternoon. Thank you for being with us. Thank you for sharing your thoughts and listening to the conversation. Be sure and stay tuned as Nancy C. takes you through the afternoon from 2 to 4. She is going to be hosting It's the Music, and she is over there busily It's the Musicking, and you're going to love it, I can tell. And then once you're well and thoroughly musicked, you can step off into the traffic jam, and we're going to get you home. And executive session will be back tomorrow afternoon, just after the 1 o'clock news. And we will be talking about, I don't know what, but we'll be talking about something. And in the meantime, please keep in mind,
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
This is WMNF Tampa.